Several weeks ago, we began to study the subject of Christian manhood and womanhood, and we've begun to look in some detail at the first of these concerns, Christian manhood. Over the weeks, we've considered a number of specific items relative to Christian manhood based upon the teaching of the Word of God. We've seen that first and foremost, a Christian man is a biblically converted man. Before he can be a Christian man, he must first be a Christian. He's also a man with a sense of his responsibility to lead, provide for, and protect others in ways that are appropriate to his relationship to them. And we further summarize the essence of Christian manhood as loving leadership. In short, a Christian man is to be a loving leader. We've looked at some of the basic disciplines and graces and dispositions that are necessary for the development of loving leadership. The first was sacrifice and self-denial. The second one was service and example. And then after that, we began to consider some of the practical expressions of loving leadership. The first of those was concern for the spiritual well-being of others. And then last week, we considered a second practical expression of loving leadership, accepting personal responsibility. And this is a very important item for males of every age, old, young, and in between. This is something that every male should be praying for and aiming for, the habit and discipline of accepting personal responsibility. And I define this item very simply as doing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, in the way that you're supposed to do it. Accepting personal responsibility involves awareness, being aware of your surroundings, so as to perceive needs and then making an effort to meet those needs as one is able to. Now this evening we come to a third practical expression of loving leadership. And it's what I've called taking initiative. Taking initiative. And some of the teens, if this sounds familiar to you, it's because it should be, because you've heard this before. But I've taken this and reworked it, so hopefully there will be a few things that are new to you. But a good leader has to be a man who takes initiative. And this evening we're going to examine this concern under three headings. We're going to consider, first of all, its description. Taking initiative, I want to describe taking initiative. I want to set forth a rather detailed description of it so you know what I'm talking about. Taking initiative is closely related to accepting personal responsibility. I almost lump them together, but they are a bit different. Taking initiative is an aspect of accepting responsibility. They always go together. A man who accepts personal responsibility is a man who also necessarily takes initiative. Taking initiative is one aspect of accepting personal responsibility. I see accepting personal responsibility as a much broader item. One particular slice in the pie is taking initiative. Now, what does it mean to take initiative? Well, you could define taking initiative, or initiative rather, as energy or aptitude displayed in the commencement of some undertaking. It's energy or aptitude displayed in the commencement of some undertaking. When someone takes initiative, he begins to do something. He makes a start at something. One who takes initiative willingly takes the necessary steps to begin, to commence with some undertaking. He takes the lead in a given situation, and sometimes he does it without being asked. Sometimes he's asked. You still can take initiative even when you're asked to do something, but sometimes you're not even asked, and so you commence with an undertaking without being asked. Now, it should be obvious that taking initiative is essential to being a good leader. A good leader is looking around. He perceives what needs to be done, and then, by choice, not by coercion, but by choice, He willingly follows through. And he meets that need. Does whatever needs to be done. Doesn't wait to be told. He sees a job that needs to be done. He doesn't wait to be told to do the job. He comes up with a plan. If it's something he should do, if it's something he's qualified to do, he comes up with a plan to get the job done, even if the plan is to get somebody else to do the job. Sometimes you delegate, and it's fine to delegate. That's one way to take initiative. You see something needs to be done, you think, well, you know, it might be better for so-and-so to take care of that, so I think I'll try to get so-and-so to take care of that. That's taking initiative. That's fine. But he comes up with a plan when he sees something that needs to be addressed. He comes up with a plan, and he puts the plan into action. Now, sometimes he might be asked to do something. He might be given instructions by someone else. But even then, he gets on with the task. He doesn't drag his feet. If it's something he should do, there's no unnecessary delay. He commences with the task at hand. He takes it on. He takes it up without someone coaxing him, without someone coercing him and threatening him and pressuring him or reminding him over and over and over again. No, he doesn't drag his feet. He takes it up. Taking initiative is an important leadership quality. It involves the ability to identify and define at least three things. A need, and then secondly, a goal involved in meeting the need, and then thirdly, a strategy for achieving the goal. So he's looking at this situation, he sees a need, and then he sees to meet that need, there's a goal, or maybe more than one goal, and then he devises a strategy or strategies to reach that goal. Now let me give you some examples of this, very simple examples. You see a piece of trash laying outside the door. This is practical, isn't it? You see a piece of trash laying outside the lower door. What do? Pick it up. You take initiative to pick it up, throw it out. Here's another example. That was simple, wasn't it? Here's another example. You're ushering on a given Lord's Day. It's your turn to usher. And you're out there in the lobby, and at 10 minutes after 11, a large group of people comes walking in the front door. And a number of them have babies. So you need to take the initiative to help these people get in and get settled, get everything squared away with a minimum amount of this disruption. Here's another example. The fellowship hall downstairs needs to be prepared for a special meeting. So one of the deacons asks you to get the room ready. You know, we're going to have this meeting Tuesday night. You think I could put you in charge of getting the room ready? And so you say, sure. And you find out what's needed for the meeting. And you even ask a few people to help you set up tables and chairs. You get a podium, put it in front of the room, whatever's needed. Now, in each one of these examples, in each one of these cases, you identified and defined a need, a goal, and a strategy. In the first example, the things were very simple. It was a piece of trash. It was almost unconscious. You didn't even have to think about it, the need and the goal and the strategy. You just did it. You just acted. No one asked you to pick up the trash, but you did it. In the second example, you were asked to be an usher, but no one told you the specifics of what that involved. You're given general instructions, but oftentimes you're called upon as an usher to make decisions. You see a need, and you quickly devise a goal, and then you come up with a strategy to meet the goal, something that will fit the particular circumstances. In the third example, you were given a specific task, but you had to figure out how to carry out that task. And in each case, you took initiative. In each case, you weren't asked to do specific things that you did. In each case, you identified and defined a need and a goal and a strategy for achieving the goal. Now, young men, I want to say to you tonight that if you expect to be good leaders, and if you hope to develop into good leaders, then you must learn to take initiative. This is very important. If you hope to be a proficient spiritual leader in the home. You need to learn to take initiative. You need to be the initiator. You need to be the instigator and the motivator in your home. You must not be passive and laid back and reluctant to do what you know you should be doing. Hanging back, waiting to be asked, waiting to be reminded, waiting for somebody else to act. No, you should be the leader. Take an initiative. It's true that we're all individuals. We're all unique. We have our own identities. Some tend to follow more than lead. Other individuals, they stand out as leaders. When they walk in the room, they just kind of take charge and they're leaders. And everybody's different. No two people are alike. Still, every man, to some extent, to some degree, in his own setting and circumstances, must learn to take initiative. And young men, I want to encourage you to start to get into the habit now. There's no point in waiting. There's no need to wait. Start to get in the habit now of learning to take initiative. Take initiative in taking initiative. That's a description. That's what it means. That's what I have in mind by taking initiative. Now, I haven't given you its description. Consider, secondly, its demonstration. How can the concept of taking initiative be developed from the Bible, or demonstrated rather from the Bible? How can we demonstrate its legitimacy and importance? Well, there are three ways that I would like to demonstrate it from the Scriptures. First of all, from a biblical text. Secondly, from a biblical argument. And then thirdly, from biblical examples. So let's consider, first of all, a biblical text. Now, I'm sure that there are many verses in the Bible that we could use. I'm not real excited about what I'm going to give you, but this is what I have. I'm sure that there are many verses in the Bible that we could demonstrate this quality of taking initiative from those verses. I'm sure there's many good ones. Probably a lot of them are better than what I'm going to give you. But this is what I'm going to give you. This is the one that I settled upon. John chapter 10. And once again, this is a passage that Rob Ferry mentioned in the Sunday school this morning. I was chuckling to myself about the repetition today. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. These are the words of Jesus. "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." Now you look at that and you say, oh, that's nice. Initiative, there's the word right there in the Bible. That's great. The only problem is, it's not translated that way in most English Bibles. There's no Greek word for initiative. And the New American Standard here is somewhat paraphrastic. It's more like a dynamic equivalent. What you actually have here, I find this interesting, is a preposition and a reflexive pronoun. It's interesting to me that the New American Standard translators have rendered a preposition and a reflexive pronoun as one's own initiative. They've done this 10 times in the New Testament. 9 of those are in the Gospel of John. So what does that tell you? That tells you that John uses this construction, a preposition and a reflexive pronoun. He uses that construction rather frequently. Now, most of you probably know that John's Greek is very simple. Not always easy to understand really the depth of what he's getting at, but his Greek is very simple. And he uses a preposition and a reflexive pronoun to express this concept of taking initiative. Now, literally, it's the preposition from and then a reflexive pronoun. From grammar, you should know a reflexive pronoun has self in it. Myself, yourself, himself, herself. And here it is, from myself. From myself. And that really captures the idea of taking initiative. It's from myself. Jesus says, I do this. I lay down my life from myself. I do it on my own. I do it willingly. And that's what's involved in taking initiative. It's doing something from yourself. You're not doing it from somebody else or from outside yourself. It's something that comes from you. You initiate it. You do it without pressure, without threats, without coercion. You do it willingly. It comes from you, not from outside of you. And what's interesting in this passage, to me anyways, is that taking initiative isn't incompatible with receiving instructions from somebody else. It isn't that you must do things without being asked all the time. No, sometimes you are asked. Sometimes you're acting in obedience to instructions or obedience to a command. But you are still doing it. You are taking the initiative to obey, to follow instructions. A person who takes initiative undertakes things whether he's told to or not. It covers both of those. So taking initiative then is doing something from yourself. Doing it willingly. Doing it of your own accord. We'll come back to the example of Christ here a little bit later. But secondly, the legitimacy and importance of taking initiative can be demonstrated by a biblical argument. And here's the argument. Taking initiative arises from at least four things that the Bible urges upon us. It arises from at least four things that the Bible commends to us, urges us to consider. The first is a sense of calling. You take initiative out of a sense of calling. You take initiative in those things that you sense God is calling you to. Now, when I say what God is calling you, I do not mean that you hear a voice in your mind, you hear a voice, God is calling me. That's not what I mean. I'm referring to the call of God as Scripture refers to the call of God. There's a whole doctrine of callings, plural, in the Scripture. And it's out of a sense of calling that taking initiative arises. The broadest calling for the Christian, of course, is his calling in Christ. If you are a believer, you've been called by God. You've been summoned from heaven to come to Jesus Christ and follow Him. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a time when you weren't in fellowship with Christ, and then came the call. And now you're in fellowship with Christ. Among the many things that you've been called to, you've been called to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. As believers, we have been called of God, called to follow Christ. We've been called to freedom, called to holiness, called to obedience, called to service. And our calling in Christ radically impacts not only the choice of things that we will take initiative in, but it also radically impacts the level of our zeal and the vigor and the energy in which we take initiative in these things. In other words, our calling in Christ impacts the what and the how of taking initiative. As Christians, we take up things for certain reasons. We take up certain types of things or certain activities as Christians, acting as disciples of Christ. We take up those things. There's other things we don't take up. People in the world take up those things, but we're not called to those things. As Christians, we take up these things. And we take them up for the glory of God and the good of others. And that imparts an energy and a zeal and a vigor to what we do. So it impacts the what and the how of our taking initiative. But in addition to our calling in Christ, there are other numerous callings. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look at verse 20. And Paul is talking about what a believer should do when he is called to faith in Christ, what he should do about his present circumstances, what the New American Standard calls the condition in which he was called. Look at verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 7. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Now, the word translated there in the New American Standard, condition, is actually the word calling. And that's reflected in the King James, the American Standard, and the New King James. So Paul is saying each man must remain in the calling in which he was called. There are many callings, and you're called in a calling. And Paul is saying, in whatever calling you're in when you were called, stay in that calling. It's a general principle. So there is our calling in Christ, and then there are these other callings. Now the context, if you look in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, what does Paul mean by the condition or these other callings? Well, it certainly includes marital status because he discusses that in this chapter. He also discusses the matter of circumcision. And also, slavery is another one. And when you look at these things, Paul's use of the word calling in this particular setting indicates that our particular life situation, that's our calling. There's a calling in Christ, and then there's also our life situation. That's our calling. And this includes much more than our work. We often hear the expression, your calling in life. What do we mean? Well, we usually mean by that our occupation, our career, our vocation. But the way the Bible uses the word calling here to describe our condition is much broader than just our work and our vocation. It includes our whole network of circumstances, personal relations, and past history. It takes in every lawful link and relationship in one's life. It includes your aptitudes. It includes your experience. It includes your skills. Here's a thought. Your calling, your life situation, is not something that you should take refuge from by creating a purely spiritual haven. Here's what I mean. Those who see a division between sacred and secular in life, you know, there's the spiritual life and then there's the ordinary secular life, they can adopt this kind of a view. Well, this is their calling. According to the Bible, this secular, this is their calling too. And some people can fall into the tendency of making this secular life, this calling, consider that a refuge or something separate from a spiritual refuge, a spiritual haven. This is the spiritual life. I'm going to give up this calling and I'm going to go to the monastery. I'm going to be a monk. I'm going to go retreat and meditate by myself. As if to say that this over here was unspiritual and unholy. And that's not the case. There's our calling in Christ, but then there's this calling over here. They are all callings from God, and they're all holy. And we don't divide life into the sacred and the secular. This calling concerning our life circumstances, our life situation, it includes the entire array of one's circumstances. The ministry is certainly a calling. That's clear. Again and again, Paul talks about being an apostle, called as an apostle. There are domestic callings. Men occupy the domestic roles of husband, father, son. And then there are vocational callings. There are doctors, there are lawyers, there are tradesmen. Each of us occupies particular roles with corresponding obligations and responsibilities. This is your calling. And there are many callings. You can think of this as your assignment from God. Everyone has an assignment from God. Your assignment is the circumstances in which you find yourself. And God has assigned you your circumstances in His providence. The doctrine of divine providence comes in here. Each of us has a unique assignment, a unique set of circumstances. So this is the first part of my argument. Taking initiative arises from a sense of one's assignment, a sense of one's calling. Really, taking initiative is a response to the recognition of the various roles one occupies in life. You look around, you realize, hey, I'm in this situation, I'm in that situation. There are all these various set circumstances to my life, in my life, and taking initiative is a response to that. Secondly, taking initiative arises from a sense of stewardship. It arises from a sense of stewardship. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. That's what a steward is to do. Joseph is the classic example of a steward in the Bible. Potiphar committed everything to him. He didn't think about anything. And he said, Joseph, I want you to take care of it all. And a steward must be found faithful. You remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19. The master entrusts varying degrees of abilities and opportunities to his servants. He commits them to him, to them. He entrusts them to them, promising them that if they are faithful in the improvement of these abilities and the improvement of these opportunities, that will bring greater stewardships in the life to come. The one who is faithful in what he has, to him more shall be given. That's the lesson of those parables. Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. So taking initiative arises from a sense of one's stewardship. It's a response to what God has entrusted you with. Thirdly, taking initiative arises from an accurate assessment of one's gifts and abilities. Now, there's overlap among all these things. Taking initiative arises from an accurate assessment of one's gifts and abilities. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And then after that, most of you are aware, Paul brings exhortations concerning the responsible assessment and use of spiritual gifts. So this accurate self-assessment, this sound judgment, has to do with the reception of spiritual gifts and the use of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are to be used in service to Jesus Christ and His people. But the assessment of our gifts and our aptitudes and our abilities must be a sober one, must be an accurate one. And what this means, the point that I want to make under this heading, the thing I really want to stress, is that we are not going to take initiative in things that we're not qualified for. See, you can get real zealous about this thing of taking initiative and just start grabbing this and grabbing that, and you might grab some things that you're not really qualified for. And that's where the exhortation in Romans 12 comes in. We shouldn't accept personal responsibility for things that we lack ability for. Things that God hasn't called us to. Things that God hasn't made us responsible for as stewards. Things that God hasn't equipped us for and gifted us for. On the other hand, if God has given you ability, if He's equipped you, if He's gifted you in particular ways, you mustn't decline to take initiative. You mustn't do it out of false humility. You know, sometimes there's this false humility. And you see an opportunity before you, let somebody else do that. I'm not really cut out for that. And it can be false humility. It can also be laziness. So if God has equipped you, you shouldn't decline to take initiative in a particular area. Taking initiative arises from an accurate assessment of one's gifts and abilities. It's a response, really, to the gifts and abilities that God has entrusted one with. And then fourthly and finally, I have to mention this. Taking initiative arises from love for God and others. We're back to the law of love. Everything comes back to this matter of love. Love for God and for others. And this is what taking initiative is about. It's a channel for expressing love. It's a way to love others. This is why we do it. So we can love God and glorify Him, and so that we can love others as we love ourselves. So that we can treat other people as we would like to be treated. That's why we take initiative. So if we have a due sense of our calling, a due sense of our stewardship, an accurate assessment of our abilities and gifts, and if we want to love God and other people, then we will take initiative. We'll take the initiative to fulfill our calling. We'll take the initiative to be faithful stewards. We'll take the initiative to use our gifts and our abilities responsibly, all out of a desire to love God and love others. That's the second part of the demonstration. Now, thirdly, biblical example. I gave you a biblical text, biblical argument, biblical example. And I'm just going to briefly note, too, we looked at these last week. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But this is something you can take home and think about for yourselves, men. Open up your Bible and read these passages and meditate on these things. The first example is Nehemiah. Nehemiah, as we saw last week, took initiative to inquire about the exiles. He wanted to find out about the cause of God back there in Jerusalem. He wanted to find out about the people of God and their condition back in Jerusalem because he cared. He loved them and he cared. So he took the initiative to inquire about the exiles. And then after that, when he found out about them, he immediately saw a need. And he started thinking in terms of goals and strategies. And he started coming up with a plan, what he was going to do. It's interesting, in chapter 2, he goes out, doesn't tell anybody what he's doing. There's a plan in his heart. And he goes out and he rides around and he inspects the walls of Jerusalem. In chapter 3, repairs begin. He's a man of action. In chapter 4, the workers encounter unexpected opposition. So Nehemiah counters with a contingency plan. The men that are working do double duty as guards. They're guarding and they're working at the same time. They've got tools in one hand, they're working with one hand, they have a weapon in the other. And so with one hand they worked, with the other hand they carried a weapon. In chapter 5, usury is eliminated. In chapter 8, worship is carried on. In chapter 13, foreigners were excluded, tithes were restored, the Sabbath was restored, and foreign wives were put away. Nehemiah did all that. And you see, nobody asked Nehemiah to do any of those things. No one asked him to go to Jerusalem in the first place. He just went. And he was looking around. He saw, boy, there's a need there, and somebody's got to do that. And he didn't wait around for somebody to figure it out and come up with a plan. He said, well, let's get the show on the road here. Let's do it. There's a need. Nobody came to him in Jerusalem when he got there and said, hey, it's great you showed up here. Here's a job description for you, Nehemiah. This is what we'd like you to do. No, he wrote his own job description. He figured out what needed to be done. He accepted the responsibility for these concerns. And then he took the initiative to address them. Nehemiah is an outstanding example of leadership. He's an outstanding example of one who took initiative. And then, of course, the second biblical example is our Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned last week, all throughout His earthly life and ministry, Jesus went about doing good. We're told in Acts 10, verse 38, another text we heard in the Sunday school this morning. He went about teaching, healing, feeding, helping those in need. He selected the 12, He commissioned the 12, and He trained the 12. He appointed them to carry on the work that He had come to do. They were to carry on the work after He left. We read in the Gospels that he resolutely set his face. Now there's initiative. He resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem, where he would suffer and be crucified. We saw earlier in John 10, verse 18, that no one forced Jesus to suffer and die for his people. He did it willingly. He laid down his life from himself. He did it of his own accord. Did it on his own initiative. Of course, he was acting in obedience to his Father's will. He was acting in obedience to his Father when he laid down his life, but still he acted. He acted in obedience to his Father's will. Took the initiative to do his Father's will. And where would we be if Christ had not accepted responsibility for our sins and taken the initiative to do what was necessary to be our sin bearer? What if he never took the initiative? We could cite other examples of taking initiative from Scripture. But this is how I would demonstrate the concept. This is how I would demonstrate the importance and legitimacy of taking initiative from the Bible. With a biblical text, John 10:18, and other similar verses. A biblical argument concerning calling, stewardship, spiritual gifts, and love. And then also from biblical examples, Nehemiah, Christ, and others. Man, this is what we need in our homes, in our churches. This is what we need. We need men who will take initiative. Men who will stand up and be leaders. Men who will stand up and act, not men who will stand around waiting for somebody else to do something. Before you will pursue this quality, before you will develop this quality with any consistency, this virtue of taking initiative as a Christian man, you must see it as something valuable, something worth pursuing, something needed, something useful, something that's good for the church and good for your family, something that glorifies God. You must see its opposites. Things like passivity, indecisiveness, inaction, irresponsibility. You must see these opposites as undesirable things, harmful things, things to flee from, things to resist. You must see taking initiative as something that will make you useful to God. Something that will be a blessing and make you a blessing to other people. Other people will appreciate it when you take initiative. And you must see it in this way. You must see it as something that will make you diligent and proficient in your work. Something that will make you successful in your career. This is something that will help you be a better husband and a better father. It's a vital quality of biblical masculinity for you to possess. A man will lead, and he will lead well to the degree that he learns to take initiative. So we've looked at its description and its demonstration. Now we come thirdly and finally to its discharge. And here I want to give you practical examples and exhortations relative to the proper discharge of taking initiative. These are practical ways. These are just common sense, daily examples of taking initiative. And they apply to males of all ages. They apply to the older men. They apply to the men who aren't so old. They apply to the young men. They even apply to the boys. Boys, you can take initiative. So I hope you're listening. Okay, boys? Hope you're listening. Take initiative, and I've already mentioned this one, picking up trash. Have you ever noticed how people, they walk right by trash and they don't pick it up? Well, I didn't put it there. They're afraid to get their hands dirty. Straightening books. You know, you're in a room, you see some books that are messed up. Why not straighten them up? If you see some furniture that needs to be straightened, the chairs are all messed up, Well, just push them in on the table. Folding blankets. Maybe you walk in the room and there's some blankets on the sofa and they're just pick them up and fold them up. Take the initiative in little things like this. Another way to take initiative is by helping to clean up after a church meal. Or helping to clean up after a meal at someone's house. Someone invites you to their home, help them clean up after. Probably some of the wives would say, how about doing that at home? How about helping to clean up after home, after a meal at home? Here's another one. Helping to serve and clean up after a teen meeting snack. You can take initiative in that. Greeting someone new. This is another thing to take initiative. If somebody comes in the church, greet them. Take the time to talk with him. Take the time to talk with her. Get to know them a little bit. Find out a little bit about the person. Make the person feel welcome. Make the person feel comfortable. You can take initiative in making phone calls, sending emails, letters, cards to elderly folks, people that have been away from church, or just anybody, just keeping up general correspondence. I know with instant messaging now it's a little bit different, but it's just good to keep in touch with people. Take the initiative to do that. You can take initiative in offering words of encouragement and kindness. Let's turn to a couple of verses here. Proverbs 15:23. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Delightful! A timely word. Proverbs 25:11. Proverbs 25:11. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. You ever had the experience where somebody comes up to you and they tell you something, they say something to you, and it's an encouragement to you, and their words demonstrate that you have been in their thoughts. You have been in their prayers. Because what they're saying to you is intelligent. It demonstrates their ability to put themselves in your shoes and to really understand you. And there's something satisfying in that when somebody does that. How delightful is a timely word? So you can take initiative in offering words of encouragement and kindness. You can take initiative to have your personal devotions. Take the initiative to maintain your spiritual life. Take the initiative to repent of your sins. Take initiative to resist temptation. And you know some of these things? There will never be an end to these things. Resisting temptation and repenting of your sins. Some of these things will never end till we get to heaven. You can take initiative to offer to help your parents. I'm sure that there are projects at home. If you went to your father and you offered to help him with a certain project to get that thing done, you would appreciate that. Perhaps your mother has some things around the house. She would appreciate you just going to her and offering, hey, when are we going to take care of this thing? How about Saturday? Let's get to it on Saturday. Let's hit that for 2 hours. I think we can knock it off in 2 hours. Caring for younger brothers and sisters. Maybe performing some task without even asking. If you know this is something that needs to be done, you know, there's a bunch of dishes, kitchen's a mess. Mom, you want me to clean up these dishes? And you're hoping she'll say no. Just do it. You can take initiative to spend personal time. Parents, fathers, you can take initiative to spend personal time with each of your children to discuss their sins, talk about their sins, and also talk about their strengths and their good qualities. Talk about all those things so that as you talk to them about their sins and about their strengths, you can help them improve and you can pray with them. Husbands, We should take the initiative to spend some personal time with our wives, some special personal time with our wives. You can take the initiative to help around the church with extra projects by coming to work day. And let me take the opportunity, while we're on the subject, we have one coming up in May. Wouldn't it be great if you couldn't make it here on that Saturday, if you would call one of the deacons and say, look, I can't make it on Saturday, whatever the date is, I didn't bother to check, but whatever day that is, it's the first Saturday in May, I think, May 5th, May 3rd, whatever it is. And you could call up one of the deacons and say, look, I can't make it that day, but do you have something else that I could just go over to the church and take care of sometime? Or another way to take initiative is if you can't make it, that you at least tell one of the deacons, look, I'd love to be there Saturday, but I can't. Something has come up. So they have an idea of who will be here. Another way to take initiative is by foregoing a recreational or leisure kind of activity to help someone in need. Which would you rather do? Watch a movie or go help somebody paint? Which would you rather do? Go play basketball or help somebody move? Though most of us would rather watch a movie or play basketball. But maybe once in a while it would be a good opportunity to practice self-denial. By foregoing a legitimate recreational or leisure type activity, if you know that other people are scrambling and they're in need, go and help them out. To move, paint, pull weeds, clean, whatever. You can take initiative to steer the conversation in a better direction. I've mentioned this one before. If you sense, hey, the way this is going, I can tell we're going to be in the gutter in about 3 minutes. I can see how this is going. So you take the initiative to, and who cares if it's smooth? I mean, it can be abrupt. People know what you're doing. That's okay. They'll appreciate it. Take the initiative to steer things in a better direction. You can take the initiative to be involved in evangelism, to speak to others about Christ and the gospel. How about this one? Take the initiative to maintain your car. Do you get your oil changed every 3,000 or 3,500 miles? Do you? Or do you let that junk get dirty in there? And pretty soon you got this dirty oil in there, and then you wonder why blue smoke is coming out the tailpipe. You can take initiative to be responsible in your financial planning. Husbands and fathers, we need to think about adequate health insurance. Life insurance. What if something happens to you? Are you providing for your family? Retirement. Now, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you don't think about that so much, but when you start getting to your later 30s and into your 40s and definitely in your 50s, you're thinking about retirement. You can take initiative to clean things and repair things at home. Some of the wives will appreciate this. Probably almost all of us, we have these certain things the wives want us to do at home, and we just somehow keep pushing it off. Here's one. You can take the initiative to balance your checkbook. To the penny. Now, I can't say, thus saith the Lord on that. But I can appeal to your conscience. You're off 50 cents. Pretty soon 50 cents is $5. Pretty soon $5 is $50. And pretty soon $50 is $100. It's $300. It's $500. And it's just guesswork. And every time you write a check, you're just hoping, oh, I hope this thing doesn't bounce. And one day it does. And then you have a bad testimony. It's needless. And then to straighten the mess out, you have to go to the bank and close out the account. You got to open up another account and wait till all the checks come back. And how do you know? Maybe the bank made a mistake. I don't think I've ever caught the bank making a mistake, but it's always possible, and you have no way to prove it. Balance it to the penny. You take initiative to pay your bills on time. How hard is it to have a calendar? Let's see, this is due on March 15th, okay? Well,
Okay, March 15th.
That means on March 11th or 12th, I better make sure that's in the mail. How hard is that? Here's one. Shouldn't even have to say this. Take initiative to maintain good personal hygiene. This is practical, isn't it? You know, occasionally you meet people, they just don't have good personal hygiene. You can take initiative to get and maintain healthy friendships and relationships with others. A real important thing in this regard is being able to solve interpersonal problems without the help of others. There are some people, it's like they go through life and they just provoke people and provoke. They can't get along with anyone. And they are dependent on other people, third parties, to help them mediate conflicts. You don't want to be that kind of a person. Then the last one I have on the list here is doing your homework. If you're a student, do your homework. On and on the list could go. We could make a long list. Practical ways to take initiative. Young men, I would like to say to you, young men, if you're not being responsible for yourself right now, right where you are, in your present circumstances, how can you reasonably expect to be responsible for other people? Some of you young men right now, you're not responsible for anyone else, not to any great degree. Not like you hope to be one day when you have a wife and when you have children. If you're not being responsible right now where you are, how do you think you're going to be responsible for others? If you're not taking initiative right now to act responsibly for other people, you're just thinking about yourself, but you're not acting responsibly toward others. In the obligations that you presently have, how can you even think about getting married if you're not being responsible right now? You know, do your parents have to tell you to do things? They have to tell you over and over and over again. Do they have to keep telling you? When are you going to do that? And if you find yourself, here's a dangerous sign. If you find yourself saying, oh, stop nagging me. Hey, you don't have to nag me. Well, maybe you do have to be nagged. Maybe you do have to be nagged about it because you're not doing it. You're not taking care of business. And then husbands and fathers, are we lagging behind in taking initiative? Do you tend to be passive? Do you tend to be detached? Off thinking about your own things, taking care of your own business. You set things up so that the house kind of runs itself, or you hope. And that's the kids' turf, and that's your wife's turf, and that's all squared away, so now I can go off and be detached in my own world and be concerned about my own things. Do you tend to be inactive? Do you tend to be indecisive, even irresponsible about some things? Are you an example to your children of acting responsibly and taking initiative? What would your wife say about this? Someone would ask your wife, is your husband, does he take initiative about things? Is he responsible? Does he lead you? What would your wife say? What would your children say? Oh, may God help us to be leaders. For the glory of God, for the good of our churches, for the good of our families, may God help us to take initiative out of a sense of our calling in life, out of a sense of stewardship, out of a sense of being gifted and given abilities and being equipped for certain things, out of a sense of love to God and love to others. You say, oh, but I've sinned. I have failed. I have failed miserably. Well, you go to the cross. In Christ, there is forgiveness with God. There is forgiveness with God that He may be feared. There's forgiveness for our past failures. And there's abundant grace in Christ for present need and future demands, future challenges. May we find our sufficiency in Him. And may God help us to be the leaders that we need to be. God help us to be men who take initiative. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You this night for our Lord Jesus Christ, who stepped up and took responsibility for our sins, ours in particular, who took the initiative to lay down His own life, acting in obedience to the will of His Father. Lord, we are the benefactors. We are the beneficiaries of Christ taking initiative for us, Christ accepting the responsibility for our sins. And Father, how we bless You and praise You and worship You that our Lord became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Help us, Father, out of a sense of gratitude, out of a sense of indebtedness for the great grace that's been shown to us. Help us to accept personal responsibility. Help us, Lord, to take initiative in those things that You have set before us, in the particular assignments You've given to us, the callings that You've given to us in Your providence. Help us, Lord, to learn increasingly how to take initiative, that we might be a help and a blessing to other people, that we might live for the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.